My name is daughter of Israel Abel, Bathsheba Hawkins, and I like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is daughter of Israel Abel Halika, and I would like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. Now I would like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. I have a gematria for you today. Be my Valentine's. English 882, which comes from 875, and it means a pit. Yahweh says the blind pastors lead their followers, and they fall into the pit they dig. That's from the Strong Hebrew number 882 and 875. Now I'd like to turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Does everybody know what this is? It's a lantern. And I wanted to tell you that Pastor has very fond memories of his childhood, and he's shared a lot of those with us, hasn't he? Brush Arbor meetings, being read to and reading by kerosene lamp in a quiet, hidden place in Oklahoma. His relationship with Yahweh strengthened by the love and devotion of his parents, Ode and Maggie. He fondly recalls memories of himself as a four-year-old boy sitting around a table with Margaret and J.G. reading the scriptures by lamplight. And another memory he told us, he was sitting around that same table by lamplight along, he was a little bit older than, almost a teenager, with Tex and Vernon. His parents were very, very inspirational in his life, and they helped him a great deal in getting him ready for the job that he has today. Wouldn't you agree? Praise Yahweh. Well, I got some great news for you. Parents, our great teacher is putting in place some wonderful lamplight classes for our children. Okay? Now, these are going to be very small groups. They're only going to be 3 or 4 students per class. Okay? So it's going to be for boys and girls, 3 or 4 students per teacher, and they're going to read by lamplight. They're also going to be taking the King James Version, and they're going to be comparing it with the Great Book of Yahweh. Now, how many of you want your children to be a part of that? Praise Yahweh. Well, we're going to start this very soon, and it's going to be going on at Yahweh's Great Feast as well. So if you'd like your child to be a part of this great class, you can go sign up at the North Office today or the South Office starting tomorrow. And if you want to be a teacher in these classes as well, you can sign yourself up too. Okay, so moms and dads. There you go. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to one of our speakers in the House of Yahweh who has grown up here. And she's a young lady that's been here a long time of her life. She's not very old. And she's learned a lot from, she hasn't learned from the lamplight yet, but she's learned a lot from our great teacher who learned from the lamplight. If you'll please stand and welcome her, our first speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I wanted to share something with you. There's this new study that shows that people who have recently received a heart transplant take on some of the characteristics of the donor. So it says a heart transplant patient has developed a craving for junk food after receiving a new heart from a teenager with a taste for fatty snacks. David Waters is the latest example of this extraordinary phenomenon, which sees some transplant recipients take on the characteristics of the donor. Can you imagine knowing someone who takes on characteristics, traits, and desires that are in someone else's heart? We know that the red heart is the symbol for Valentine's Day. Maybe the gods knew a lot more about our bodies and our physical makeup than we realize. Maybe they knew that our taste, cravings, and desire starts in our heart. But we know that Yahweh tells us this first. We can look throughout the scriptures that speak of where our desire starts in our heart. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. We know that Valentine's Day and all of the other holidays are days that are set up for people to serve and worship Satan. So in Gematria, when you type in Satan worship on Valentine's Day, the following numbers come up. 2934, 2058, and 343. So in Strong's, for 2934 in Hebrew, it means to hide, be hidden, hiding. This automatically reminded me of Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, which speaks of how after Adam and Eve had sinned, when they realized what they did, they wanted to hide themselves from Yahweh. So in verse 9 we see, when Yahweh called Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So Adam said, "I heard the word of Yahweh being proclaimed at the garden, and I was afraid because I had sinned and hid myself." When they realized what they had done, they were ashamed and wanted to hide from Yahweh. But is there anywhere you can go that Yahweh won't know of? Is there anything that you can do that he is not aware of? In Psalms chapter 139, verse 7, it says, "Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence?" The world, they want to try and hide their sins and the result of sin, sickness, and disease. But we, as well as the world, can see what sin brings. There are hospitals and graveyards in every city throughout the world. So continuing with the numbers from Gematria, on Satan worship on Valentine's Day, 343 in Strong's Hebrew means disaster, calamity, destruction. And we see this in Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of gods and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So we see here what the end result is for those who follow after the gods. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Yahweh tells us we cannot partake of his way and serve the gods. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20 and 21 says, "But I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to Yahweh. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of Yahweh and partake of the cup of demons. You cannot partake of Yahweh's table and the table of the demons." So when we choose, or when the world chooses, to celebrate and partake in holidays, they're worshiping Satan. We must decide each and every day who we will serve. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, "Do you not know that to whom you yield yourselves as servants, his servants you are, whom you obey, whether of sin which leads to death or obedience that leads to righteousness?" So if we obey Yahweh by keeping his laws and following after his perfect righteousness, then we become servants to Yahweh. And to serve Yahweh pays off big time. It starts now and it ends with eternal life. And this time period, these last days, the world has pushed sin now more than ever before and has spread throughout the whole world. We must continuously be on guard that we do not compromise with sin or turn back to God worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30 and 32, this is when Yahweh warns us not to seek after the gods. Don't inquire of their ways so that you can go and do the same. And in Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, he gives a command to his called out ones. He says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, so you do not receive of her plagues." Plagues, sicknesses, and diseases are definitely coming upon this world because they have chosen a sinful lifestyle. They teach you a false definition of love. They tell you it's a feeling, it's an emotion. Tell someone you love them and give them a gift on this day. But what they are really saying is that they are workers of Satan. They are in agreement and perfectly fine with the 125,000 abortions that take place every day. They're perfectly okay with STDs and hospitals and graveyards and dying every day. When you partake in the holidays and Satan worship, you are signing your certificate of death. Now, this is far from what Yahweh teaches us. He tells us, and we can read throughout the scriptures, that true love is keeping his laws and following after his perfect righteousness. Great woman of Yahweh, where do we find the scripture that tells us what love is? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 7. It says, "Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, it is not boastful, not puffed up with pride, does not behave rudely nor seek its own advantage, does not become worked up with irritation, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, does not betray, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Let's break this down. When I say I love you, I am really saying I will be patient with you, I will be kind to you, I will humble myself and say, "Please forgive me." I will speak respectfully towards you, I will not provoke you or irritate you on purpose, I will think positive thoughts about you, I will not say anything to tear you down, I will obey and submit to my authorities. So next time you say the words, I love you, to someone, think about what you are saying. Are you choosy to serve Yahweh? Valentine's Day and all of the other holidays are set up for you to worship and serve Satan. Those who follow after her and her gods will have their end result of death. But Yahweh tells his called out house to come out from among her system of God worship and become like him. And in 1 Kefa chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We, the great house of Yahweh, have been called out of darkness. Our minds have been opened to see the light. We have learned the truth about Satan worship, her holidays, and what true love means. We've learned all this and more from the great house of Yahweh. We should praise Yahweh for the many things we have learned from his house. Thank you to the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisro Abel Hawkins, for giving me the opportunity to speak today. And if you all stand, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Valentine's Day seems really right to mankind. I mean, look at all the money it brings in. Notice the following article. Valentine's Day celebrants spend more in 2019. In 2019, Valentine's Day shoppers will set new spending records. They will add $20.7 billion to the economy, according to the National Retail Federation. That's more than the $19.2 billion spent in 2018. This gives a huge boost to retailers who cater to this market. It also points to the rising customer confidence, and that's from the website TheBalance.com. Wow, did you catch that? $20 billion added to the economy? Huge boost to retailers? Rising customer confidence? What a huge blessing to society, right? Well, sisters, that's just the tip of the giant, frozen, heart-shaped iceberg of the truth about Valentine's Day. Because Valentine's Day is one of the most evil practices in the world today. Notice the real results of Valentine's Day, as shown on the website worldometers.info/abortions. According to the World Health Organization, every year in the world, there are an estimated 40 to 50 million abortions. This corresponds to approximately 125,000 abortions per day. I know you so-called Bible-reading Christians may say, well, how can Valentine's Day be responsible for all those murders? I don't even see the word Valentine's in the Bible. Using the great wisdom of Yahweh, written in the book of Yahweh, and also revealed in the numbering system called Gematria, the truth about Valentine's Day will emerge. When we enter Valentine's Day in the Gematria calculator, Valentine's Day in simple Gematria equals 151. The definitions of Greek word number 151 from Strong's Greek Dictionary tell us the real story of Valentine's Day. 151 from 150, shamefulness, filthiness. 150 from the same as 153, shameful and filthy. Notice that word, filthiness. This is exactly what Valentine's Day promotes. And this is exactly what Yahweh's law forbids. If everyone would turn over to Leviticus 18 on page 97. Leviticus 18 and verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Yahweh your father. After the doings of the land of Egypt where you dwelt, shall you not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan where I am bringing you, shall you not do. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe and do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am Yahweh. Listed in this chapter are the filthy practices of the children of Israel that they brought with them from Egypt that are now promoted by the tribe of Yada on the seven hills of Rome. If everyone would turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 on page 981. Starting in verse 1, and there came one of the seven Malachim who had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying,
Come, and I will show you the sentence of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, practiced idolatry, god worship, the worship of Elohim, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And he carried me away in the spirit into the midst of god worshippers, worshippers of Elohim, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Read in the definitions of the related words from Strong's Greek Dictionary. We see 148 comes from 150 and 3056, which means filthy communication. Notice that filthy communication. This is the unlawful conversations between men and women promoted on Valentine's Day that leads to fornication, adultery, sodomy, bestiality, all forbidden in Leviticus 18. Let's see what the Apostle Shaul said about this filthy communication. In Ephesians 5, on page 919, Ephesians 5 in verse 3. But fornication, idolatry, all uncleanness or covetousness, let this not once be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor foolish jesting, which are not proper. Instead, let there be giving of thanks. For know this, that no whoremonger, unclean person, nor covetous man who are idolaters has any inheritance in the kingdom of Messiah and Yahweh. Let no man deceive you by letting you think otherwise, for because of these things, the judgment of Yahweh comes upon the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Now let's read the definition of word number 146, which comes from 150. It means given to, greedy of, filthy lucre, this dishonest gain. We already read the greed for dishonest gain with the amount of money that comes in from the promotion of Valentine's Day. In Revelation 18, on page 982, it says, verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her delicacies. This is not just isolated to one day. The money made from abortions and selling of fetal body parts is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-days-a-year business. 125,000 abortions a day all come from the practice of fornication, adultery, and sodomy that is promoted through Valentine's Day. Add on top of that the billions and billions of dollars that the Catholic Church brings in from the hundreds of STDs that are promoted by the satanic form of so-called love that is promoted through Valentine's Day. This is not love. This is death that has been candy-coated and shaped into a heart by Satan to deceive and destroy the entire world. Praise be to Yahweh that he has shown us the way out of this filthy world. In Jacob 1, verse 21, on page 953, therefore put away all filthiness and the superabundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness, humility, the written law, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the law, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In Ephesians 5, on page 919, Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, even though it's shameful to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. And then 2 Timothy 2 on page 938 and verse 22. 2 Timothy 2, 22. And also flee from youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Break Down the Walls of Untruth. And I wanted to take the moment to imagine this. Since your youth, you were trained to do something at a specific time in a specific way. And every single moment that presented itself, you did it without any thought because you were told that it was the right and proper way or that it was always done this way. So you grew up and you instilled this same routine not only in yourself but also in your children, and it went on from generation to generation. Does this sound familiar? Sure, maybe. You were taught a family recipe or you're told a story that was passed down from your family and still to this day is being told. You see, it's human nature to learn something from a young age, and when constantly practiced, it becomes habit, a permanent part of your lifestyle. Traditions and customs are exactly that. Satan, the adversary, knowing how we were created, uses the same tactics to indoctrinate and deceive the minds of the people. And one of her tools that she uses is the calendar, or worse yet, the holidays that people keep without realizing why. I like to think of the world as being trapped in a box or being programmed by Satan in order to pass out her orders so that the only way that we can get out of this box is to educate ourselves and to see the lies for what they truly are. So today, we are going to break down some of these walls of untruth. I want to touch upon the holiday of Valentine's Day, which was kept not too long ago. Now, the world automatically thinks, and I really encourage you to go ahead and read that book. Now, the world automatically thinks that Valentine's Day is a holy Catholic or Christian holiday, right? But in actual fact, it is a pagan custom derived from ancient Greek festival called Lupercalia. Now, I want to cover one symbol of Valentine's Day, and that is Cupid. And if you turn on page 15 of the real meaning of behind Valentine's Day, on page 15, it talks about Cupid, and it says here that Cupid was one of the gods of mythology whose name in Latin means desire. And I really underline that because it doesn't mean love, but means desire. He is usually represented as a chubby, naked, winged boy or youth with a mischievous smile. He possesses a bow with a quiver of arrows by which he transfixes the hearts of youths and maidens. His darts, some of which were poisonous at the tips, could pierce anywhere. And if you turn over to page 16 of the same booklet, it talks about how Cupid and his mother Venus were none other than Madonna and the child. And that goes back to that sick, incestual mother-son-husband worship that we hear so much about. Now, the world presumes that Cupid is this innocent child. So let's have scripture decide. So I put in gematria, is Cupid innocent? And it, English number 1050 came up. And 1050 in Hebrew means house of the street. And when I see that, the first thing that pops to my mind is the children of the harlots in hell. Scripture says they're on every single street corner, right? So I put in gematria, house of the street, house of harlot. Okay? Now, I just want to give you two cross-references for that. So Proverbs 7, 10 through 12 talks about that seducing adulteress who lies in wait for her prey. I want to keep in mind, bring back to your memory, that it's not only the act of committing adultery, but also in your heart, if you have that desire in your heart, and if you have it lust in your eyes, then you have committed that sin, right? And then if you turn over really quickly to Ukeskia 16, found on page 637, verse 31, it says, when you build your harlot houses in the head of every way, and you make your high places in every street, you are yet not like a harlot because you have scorned payment. And you jump down to verse 33, it says, men give gifts to all of their harlots, but you give your gifts to your lovers. Okay, so keeping that in mind, I want you to look at the gematria for house of the street, house of harlot. And it was Jewish number 1570. Okay, so 1570 in the Greek means to put out, expose, to perish. And we want to keep in mind that the end result of following after this way is utter destruction. Now, Hebrew 1570 means to caper. Caper means illegal or questionable act or escapade. We know this is talking about that illegal lust that brings forth that every single day of the year we see, but especially on Valentine's Day. We see the fornication, the adultery, and the sodomy. And you can reference there Jeremiah 23, verse 15, because it talks about how profaneness has gone out throughout all the world, and it's due to the teachings of the priest that Yahweh did not send. Now, going over to that English word 2232 in Hebrew means to spread widely, to plant, and to conceive. And right now, what do we see spreading worldwide? that teaching of the Vatican, right? The Satan's teachings of God worship, which is spreading everywhere. Now, 2232 in Greek also means a leader, chief person, prince. And right now, who is that leader of all the churches in the harlot, so to speak? It's the Vatican, right? So I just really want us to keep attention to, it says 372, which also comes from that word, 372, which is simple, and it means intermission. And it shows, you know, that there's going to be a break. And we know at the end and after, at the end of this lesson that the world will learn, they will forsake Father Yahweh, but Satan will be bound up, right, for 1,000 years. You can reference the Revelation 20, verse 2. And we can see that there will be an intermission where we will teach the world Yahweh's laws. We will teach them why we keep Yahweh's feast days and go according to the sacred calendar, and not why we keep, and why we don't keep the holidays, right? Because and we're going to show them that God worship is forbidden. So really quickly, I have a pop quiz question for you, if I can have my slide. My question to you is, which picture shows a real heart? A or B? Yes, A. And that's really important. We want to keep in mind, thank you so much. We want to keep in mind that Yahweh created mankind with one heart, and he tells us that if we keep these laws, then we will change it and renew it onto perfection. Now, the second heart is a symbol of lust, not love. And we see a lot of times, you see the world, they say, you know, I love you. What they're really saying is, I lust after you, right? So we really keep these things in mind. And so in closing, I just really want to encourage you to continue in your studying, to get ready for the multitude. Go ahead and read all your booklets, because it's going to tell you why we don't keep these holidays. So when someone comes up to you and say, you know, why don't you keep these things? You're able to give them a foolproof answer and break down the walls of deceit in their minds. And with this, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Okay, you can remain standing. How many of you want your children, your little children, to grow up and be able to have that kind of knowledge right there? Wow. So let's get them enrolled in these classes, because these are going to be what helps us to get these children ready to go out and teach nations. And that's what their job is in the house of Yahweh. So while you're standing, help me as we turn the services over to the great priest in the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
That was great. Praise Yahweh. To continue on, we get to hear this at this time from the great deacon, Michael Austin.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Let's get right into it. Okay, the title of this code search is 4,199 Religions. So, I looked up 4,199. And the interesting thing in the Greek, it means to destroy. I lay waste. Destroy, ravage, harass, destroy. Destroy and destroyed, which describes the religions of the earth. And that's what they do. There's nothing beneficial in being evil as gods, which is what they are. So let's get right into this. Here's the code search. Grab my makeshift pointer. Okay, so right here, that is 4,199 religions. Now, the second one coming off there, it tagged to 4,199 again, so it's like on there twice. 4,199 religions, 4,199 religions. Okay, then over here, we have Catholic, which is where it comes from. Catholic, the Catholic religion has been around since the days of Cain. Cain started the Catholic religion, and they've always been Catholic, and they've always been evil as the gods. Now, crossing Catholic right here is the word iniquity. Iniquity. Then over here, of course, we have hatred for Yahweh. We have hatred for Yahweh. And of course, evil as gods. Right here we have evil as gods. Evil as gods. And we know that Egypt had a lot to play, had a lot to do with the Coptic Catholic religion. The Catholic religion we know as as today. And of course, Egypt, I don't know if you can see all this. Yeah, you can. Egypt is right there. And the house of Yahweh in these last days has exposed the 4,199 religions that are evil as the gods, that are Catholic and full of iniquity. And then continuing on, of course, Mark of Beast. Mark of Beast. Now, if you noticed, all these connect. Everything connects together. So again, we have Mark of Beast and crossing the 4,199 religions, we have the number 666. 666. Now, if everybody will turn over to Zechariah. Zechariah 9, that's found on page 721. Zechariah 9, found on page 721. And verse 1, it reads, "The prophecy of doom, Massa, burden, of the word of Yahweh against the land of Hadrach, and upon Damascus it rests. For the eyes of men and all tribes of Israel will be upon Yahweh. Upon Damascus it rests." Now, if we look right here, visions rest Damascus. Again, visions rest Damascus. Now, back to Zechariah, look down to verse 8. Now, one thing I want everybody to be very aware of here, when that takes place, you're going to see Yahweh's protection go up upon the house because we're going to need it. Verse 8, "Then I will encamp around my house like a guard against those who march in and out. No more will the oppressor overrun them, for now my eyes are watching over them." So when we see Damascus go down and become a ruinous heap, we're going to see the protection of Yahweh go way up because we're going to need it. Back to the codes. Ending soon. It's going to be ending soon. So when we see that take place, Damascus become a ruinous heap, Yahweh's protection is going to rise to protect his house, to protect all of us from the onslaught of the attacks of the adversary, which is also going to go up. And that's all I have for the codes today. I would like to let everybody know there's a new song that's been written, "Teaching Yahweh's Laws by the Lamplight." Pastor wants everybody to learn it for Seder. If you would like a copy, you can get a hold of the South office and they'll set you up with it. And the importance of the song is the importance of reading the scriptures to our children by the lamplight. So the feast is coming. I hope everybody's ready. Remember to humble yourself at the feet of the priest, to come before Yahweh at his feast. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Have a great Sabbath. With that, I'll turn it over to a great priest in Yahweh's house, the great Kohan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Okay, can we put the title slide up? We're going to go into... You can be seated. Sorry about that. Jack Van Impe and the Sparing of 2 Billion People at the House of Yahweh, Part 4. We're going to call this the Nimrod Course. Okay, now, there's a reason for that, as you'll see. Let me backtrack just a moment. Now, y'all remember all the sermons that have been given regarding Abilene, in these last days being the established place that Yahweh chose through prophecy to establish his great house for the gathering. And remember, the name Abilene means gather, to bring. We also gave many, many sermons regarding a loop here in Abilene, or Abilene, which was named, by the way, and their own admission, after the first righteous priest, Abel. I saw it on their website. I've proven it. I've shown it to you before. And they even say Luke 3:1 is where they got that name. Even Abilene, Kansas named it after Luke 3:1, where the word Abilene is mentioned. But there's a loop here in town called Loop 322, And proof upon proof upon proof is shown that that loop is speaking of 322, the tag number of Pastor Israel Abel Hawkins, and pointing toward his designation and his appointment as the last day's witness that the world needs to be gathering to at this place that Yahweh established. Now, there's some people, we're going to expose them, that would like to change that loop. Can we have the first slide? There's been a bill introduced, House Bill 23, which would now rename Loop 322, this is from the actual article, the Officer Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. This officer died about, I think it was 2010, about 9 years ago, in a motorcycle accident on Sales Boulevard. And it was recently introduced to the Texas legislature to change the name of the loop to in honor of this officer. And I want to put a disclaimer here. There's nothing against this officer that we're speaking of here. Okay, there's nothing against this man. This man has nothing to do with, but the name has everything to do with who's behind it. Okay? And the House bill number also, as we're going to see. They want to name this and rename it after this police officer, and that should tell you something, because they always want to have memorials for the dead. Right? But let's look at this first, the next slide, and let's look at the gematria of Loop 322, and you'll see a familiar number, 1674. We've been talking about that for a number of weeks now, and we'll show you here in a minute what that means. Let's look at this Officer Rodney T. Holder, and let's see what it's really talking about. I'll prove it later. I'll show you now. Can I have my next slide? Officer Rodney T. Holder is code for Office of Rod Holder of Tammuz. And we know who the rod holder, or that holding the staff right now in Yada, is the ones on the Seven Hills. Office of Rod Holder of Tammuz comes out to 1674. Scepter of the Lord. Tammuz is known as the Lord. Actually, in Volume 1 of the Mark of the Beast on page 71, these are the terms Pastor used. He's called Tammuz. He's called Adonis in the Greek, which means Lord. And we know that all ties into Satan, right? Because that's Satan. That's all Satan. Notice 1674. Tammuz, by the way, is also associated with Easter. We're going to talk about that in a minute, about the weeping for Tammuz that took place, that's still taking place today. Pastor said Tammuz is a pagan sun deity, 1674. He's also known as the illegitimate son of Nimrod, who we know is the Nimrod system. It's not a person, okay? Remember, this is remember what you've been taught. 1674, and then he talks about the month of Tammuz at Egypt that was celebrated, which is also 1674, if you'll notice. Let's see some modern-day lessons about weeping for Tammuz and what this is really about. Can I have my next slide? Last year, on Valentine's Day, there was a shooting at the Parkland School. Valentine's Day was on Ash Wednesday that year. It fell on the same day. If you'll notice the mother there, she has ashes on her forehead. Okay, this is from the Jesuit Review magazine. If you'll notice, the mother's in the colors, and everyone in the background is in black and white. They brought it out for a purpose, for you to see this. You see the women weeping. The shooting was on an Ash Wednesday, 1674. It was Valentine's Day, Ash Wednesday, 1674. The woman has a Tammuz cross of ashes on her forehead, 1674. Remember, Tammuz, as you'll see, as we saw in the last slide, has those crosses on the headband. That's what that T is in the Rodney T. And the women crying for Tammuz, I'm sorry, a Tammuz, it says Ash Wednesday, Ash Wednesday's beginning Lent. The period of Lent is 40 days leading up to Easter. It's a period of mourning, remember? That's the modern day weeping for Tammuz that they're still doing. They call it the Lent season, but it's the weeping for Tammuz. It's still taking place today, and Pastor talks about it in the Mark of the Beast where I showed you. And they're weeping because this society, this Nimrod system, is bringing forth this murder and death. Okay? Now, can I have my next slide? I want to remind you the 1674 was a number of days from Israel Hawkins' sermon on 6:14:14 about Jack Van Impe, repent and be converted, and you'll see the beauty in Yahweh's laws, to the sermon on 1:12:19, where he again called on the religious leaders to repent. And you'll see the number 1674. But Yahweh's going to show you a little more today about what this number actually means. So what does the number 1674 represent? Well, look at the math. It's the number of a man. It represents the tyrannical, deceptive Nimrod system of rebellion. And the mathematical structure shows the 666 all through it. 1674 is 216, which is 6 times 6 times 6, plus 396, which is 66 times 6, plus 396, which is 6 times 66, plus 666. Can you do that with any other number? Oh, you could try. Now let me show you some more proof about this number. Can I have my next slide? Even the Roman numeral for 1674 comes out to 666. But maybe that's not enough. Can we have the next slide? Remember, 666 is found in Revelation 13:18, and in Greek, it's 55:16, and it's pronounced chi si stigma. Or 600, three score, and six. The number of a man, a chi si stigma, 1674. It's written as chi si stigma, 1674. Can I have my next slide? Let's convert 666 into Roman numerals. You'll get a DCLXVI, which, if you put that in and you put 666 sign, you'll get 1674. DCLXVI 666 equals Roman Catholic number 1674. And all you churches that don't think you're following her, got news for you, because DCLXVI equals a number of all churches, 1674. Notice they're all worshiping the one on the seven hills. That's who they're following. And the one on the seven hills is following Satan. Can I have my next slide? Let's just do this. Let's take both the 666 and the 1674 in Roman numerals and put them together and put the church. And we get 1674 again. The church, meaning the church, Circe, the one that feeds pigs to her people. Can I have my next slide? Let's look at another remarkable coincidence. 4,199 religions. There's the Roman numeral for 4,199. MMMMCXCIX. And it says MMMCXCIX are following Cain. 1674. And notice the other number, 1976, the very year the Mark of the Beast was written. That pastor exposed this system. Can I have my next slide? You know, the evidence is just mounting, isn't it? Okay, but look here. 666 times 3 is 1998. Type in 1674 and chi si stigma, and you get 1998. 1998, if you'll notice in Genesis 10, that's when Genesis 10 began, in 1998. Remember the Nimrod system? And on my next slide. Let's break these numbers down in the math. 216, which is 6 times 6 times 6. And by the way, you can go to the 16th book of Israel, page 216, and we told you about this number, 666. It means light. It means sun. Remember, the sun worshiper, as I'll show you here in a minute. And it means to be or become light, or become like light. 216 in the Greek means mute, dumb, speechless, dumb. Your reference is Isaiah 56:10. It's speaking of these dumb dogs that Yahweh calls them, these dumb sodomites that don't like to bark a warning, that are sitting on seven hills. You can also reference 1 Corinthians 12:2, where he calls them dumb gods. Notice dog and God. Just switch the letters around a little bit. Let's look at the next slide. Let's take both those meanings that we just saw. Next slide. Am I on the right one? Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. Yeah, or this one. Okay, let's take those meanings, light and dumb, mute, speechless. Notice the number, 266. Does that ring a bell? Okay. Of such are the false apostles, 1674, transformed as ministers. Remember, they're transformed. They become ministers of light, but of righteousness, but they're not really ministers of righteousness. Okay, they only pretend to be, and they're sitting on seven hills. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 15 says, they're false apostles, deceitful workers, transformed into ministers of righteousness, just like Satan herself is transformed into an angel of light. Can I have my next slide? Let's look at number 396 now in that equation. 396 means to devour, consume of fire, to devour, slay by the sword, to devour, consume, destroy, through pestilence and drought, devour of oppression, to be devoured, consumed by fire. So we put in oppression, famine, and burning, what we just read, 1674. Will be ashes under the feet. Remember, Malachi says they're going to be ashes under the soles of your feet, 1674. Reduced to ash, 666. If you remember, the number 666 means ashes, 1674. Can I have my next slide? That was in the Hebrew, by the way. 396 in the Greek means to overthrow, overturn, destroy, to subvert. Put those in gematria and you get 666. And it's used in Titus 1:11 where it says, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses of Yahweh, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of filthy money. Okay, so you think, okay, 396 and 396. So, okay, let's just put 396 and 396 together, okay, and let's see what we get. Can I have my next slide? Let's put 396 and 396 together like you see in that equation, and you get 792. 792 in the Hebrew means man of Baal. Really? Man of Baal. Now, who would that be? And 792 in the Greek means a star. And it means to spread also. Let's go to the next slide. We all know what 6666 means. It means reduced to ashes. Notice it says House Bill 23. Now notice it's lightened there. It's not dark like the rest of them. There's a reason. Would now rename Loop 322 the Officer Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. House Bill 23 is 266. Who's 266? That's right, Pope Francis. 1674 is 266. And he's the king of the house of the Lord, 266, or the house of Baal. Can I have my next slide? Notice this, Gematria, the next part of that article said, would now rename Loop 322 the Officer Rodney T. Holder Memorial Highway. That comes out to 666, but it also has 5181. And behold, it means a tyrant. A tyrant, tyrannus. From 2962, which means controller, master, God, Lord, master, sir. If you remember, can I have my next slide? Pastor gave a series of sermons about this tyrant or tyrannus, the school of tyrannus. In Acts 19:9, the apostle Shaul said he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for about 3 moons, reasoning and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh. But since some were hardened and would not believe, but spoke evil about the way of Yahweh before the multitude, he separated himself from them, taking the disciples with him. But every day he reasoned in the school of Tyrannus. Think of the Tyrannosaurus. You know, the flesh eaters, the tyrants. Can I have my next slide? This school of Tyrannus was for military training in part. This present Nimrod course of life started in 2218 BY. Let me show you. That's in the New Prophetic Word. Right here. Zoom in a little bit. On page 14. It says, following the burning from nuclear war will be the kingdom that will end all military training that actually started in the year 2218 BY. For Yahshua. When you put that in Gematria, 2218 before Yahshua, military training and school, you get 666. You also get 4835, which means oppression, violence, to crush. It's from 7533, which means to struggle together, to crush, to oppress, to break. And notice this, it's from 4794, and it means a race, a race. It means a course of life, a course of life, a course of life that began in 2218 with Nimrod. It's a mode or style of running. Remember, we're running a race. There's two races taking place. One here at the house of Yahweh, racing for the kingdom. The other one racing toward the burning, the nuclear burning that's fixing to take place. Can I have my next slide? 1674, if you put in oppressive, a course of life. Notice you get a double 1674. That's right. A double 1674. I'm going to run out of time, so I think that's a great stopping point. Now, one thing I want to remind you of, this, we're going to keep going with this. I want you to remember this course of life that began with this military school of training, the school of Tyrannus. The tyrants, Nimrod, remember he was a tyrant. And I want you to also be thinking about the loop, because we're going to show undeniable proof that the scepter holder on the seven hills is going to try to stop the house of Yahweh, who Yahweh said and even shows in the numbers on that loop in a sign that I'm going to show you, that this rod, this branch, is going to be handed to you. They're going to try and stop it because they don't want you to have that rod. They're not going to want to lose their power, and they're not going to go down, folks, easy. They're not going to go down easy. A rabid dog backed in a corner, okay? Just think of it that way. They are not going to go down easy, but they're going to go down. And you're going to go up, House of Yahweh. So if you'd all please stand. We'll pick up next time, Yahweh willing. And at this time, I'd like to present to you the great Gohan Michael Hawkins.
Please be seated. Now we need all the children's attention. Boys, we got your attention? Boys, got your attention? Girls, got your attention? Girls? Wow, let's not be too many of them there, huh? Okay, now usually on the Sabbath we see the news, right? And on the news you see adults fighting
You see adults calling one another names. We see adults using hurtful words, right? Is that the right way to do? No, it's not. Okay? So remember that. That is practicing the way of the gods. Okay? It's practicing the ways of the gods. And we don't want to imitate that. We don't want to be that way. We want to do what Yahweh says for us to do. So this is the way of the gods that the world teaches. Okay? And this is what they practice. But remember what Yahweh taught us, what Yahshua taught us, and what Pastor has taught us. Okay? You got to remember that. Great. Put it into practice, okay? Because we don't want to practice evil, right? We don't want to practice evil when we leave here and go on our ways, right? You think the world's a mess? The world's in a mess, isn't it? It is. It's a big mess, okay? So we're learning how to straighten it out, okay? So instead of practicing the evil, remember to practice respect, okay? Can we do that? All right. Let's practice respect. Let's serve one another as we're taught by the house of Yahweh. And look at the example of the priests and the priestess, okay? Follow them. See what they do and follow them. Do what's right. Don't practice evil, okay? Don't imitate what you see on the news. It's not to imitate, okay? It's for our learning, okay? You understand that? All right. It's for our learning. So remember to teach and practice righteousness, okay? So when you see the news, what are you going to do? When you look at it and you see something evil taking place, realize it's evil. It's to show us with the ways of the gods. And it's to show us that we don't want to be that way, okay? You understand that? All right. Now, if you'll please stand, turn it over to the great Kahan Ilya.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. And keep in mind, along with what the great Kahan just brought out, in Revelations, you'll need this to remind yourself, and I know this is a very familiar scripture, but Revelations chapter 6, starting in verse 6, where it says, "And I heard in the midst of the four living creatures," of course, that's the quartet that we see in these last days, "a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and wine." Of course, that's the way of living. And then looking down to verse 8, it says, "And I look, and behold, a pale horse, the name of him who sat upon it was Death, and Sheol followed with him, and power was given over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword," and notice, "and with hunger," to kill with the sword, with war, and with hunger. So this quartet is actually starving people. It's within their power to do this, but killing with hunger and with pestilence, these diseases. It's important to remember, as the great Count Michael also just said, when you read Revelations 13 and verse 10, where it says, "He who is with the sword or for the sword," circle that word "must," because it says he must die by the sword. And it's very important because that's what we see going on in this world today. And they have this fictitious peace, and we look at the last 3.5 years, which is the peace treaty that we're looking at being signed, we're looking forward to. And Jared Kushner just finished, it was either late yesterday or today, his tour of the Middle East. Now, he went by himself. He didn't go with Greenblatt, who usually travels with him. But he went by himself trying to endorse and to gather support for this peace treaty. Now, at the same time, you have Prime Minister Netanyahu being indicted, which we've been talking about that for a while. And remember what Pastor brought for years. Those who are in leadership positions, you will either do what you're told or you'll be removed from position, is what the Vatican tells them. Do what you're told or we will remove you. Well, the interesting part was when they were debating this and when the announcement was going to be made, Netanyahu was meeting with President Putin. He was in Russia. Now, we're going to see more about Russia here shortly in the news, but going from that, we go into Pakistan and India, and you can see how quickly overnight tensions can rise and heated aggression can take place. And keep in mind, India may be a lot bigger than Pakistan as far as a nation and population, but between them both, they literally have like 135 to 140 nuclear bombs between them both. They're about equal in that. How many do you think it would take to cause destruction? It wouldn't take very much. You know, all it takes is a willing heart, and there's definitely a willing heart over there. There's hatred. And where the law of Yahweh doesn't exist, there's no way to find peace. There's no way to find common ground with your brother, as Yahshua told us to do. There's no way. There's a grudge being held, and it's when we have the right opportunity, we will get them. And that's the way they look at it. And going along with Pakistan, now, it was kind of ironic with Mike Pompeo and President Trump meeting with the leader of North Korea. Mike Pompeo came out, and with a straight face, he said that India and Pakistan needs to show restraint. We cannot afford a war. And it's like, I can't believe he said that with a straight face. Not with what we're doing, because the United States is definitely pushing this sword, this one world government, this one world religion. And that's what we see being pushed by the one who they get their instructions from, the beast, the one that sits upon the seven hills, that divine serpent. That's where they receive their instructions from. And the United States, the Pentagon, releasing this last week, that they've pretty much have figured that they're going to deter from the war on terror, and they're going to shift that more toward Russia and China now. Literally coming out and saying that, but they said toward our allies. You don't go to war with an ally. You don't go to war with a friend. In fact, war is a sign of hatred. There's no love in war. They have what they call rules of war, but the rules of war is kill everybody. You come out on top. And you'll always hear them say, well, we need to do what is in America's interest, or another country. Russia will do what's in Russia's interest. China will do what's in China's interest. But you see this aggression building up to where everybody is having to firm up their foundation. Everybody's got their chest puffed out, and everybody's beating their chest, saying, if you start it, we'll finish it. And that's what Russia is saying, that we won't initiate this nuclear war, but we will finish it up. And he said again, the bear does not growl unless you provoke it. And he also gave a comment, and it's very interesting because usually he'll name the nation and then he'll give his statement. This last time he said, the leaders who make decisions, which we all know they set upon the seven hills, he said, they need to know that our missiles will reach them. And that was a threat towards someone, trying to get them to understand this will take place. With all of this going on with Venezuela, remember, China is the biggest buyer of Venezuelan oil. So China plays a huge role in this. And also, China was trying to change over Venezuela oil sales to the Petro Yuan. So no American dollar could affect them. And why? Because sanctions. The United States just put more sanctions where you cannot buy, sell, nor trade. Put those on Venezuela. And watch what they're reporting on RT, because it's what these things, we hear them today, and it should solidify our belief into the one sent, because he said these things for years, where they say these sanctions are being used to choke the people down. Starvation is what they're using. Don't miss that. Starvation. They're starving the people, trying to get the people to turn against the leadership, which they're looking at President Maduro. That's who they want to turn him against. Now, President Maduro, why? He says he's a Catholic. He says he follows the faith. He asked Pope Francis for dialogue. Well, notice Pope Francis's reply. Pope tells Venezuela's Maduro, past pledges not kept. In other words, we told you what to do, and you didn't do what you were told to do. You didn't pay your tribute. You're supposed to be paying us money off this oil you sell. You're not supposed to be going outside of that. Maduro did not do what he was told to do, and now he's going to be replaced with someone that will do what he's told to do. Now, Russia and China, remember, it says they're not afraid of sanctions. And notice, there's no pope ever been to Russia or China. And the Vatican's been trying to get into China. If you remember with Russia and the Orthodox, they literally just took the Ukrainian Orthodox out from underneath the Russian control. And Russia is still upset over that. And that involved the Ten Kings, where they took the Ukrainian Orthodox, not along with the religion, but with all the buildings, all the finances. They took all of it. And Russia is very upset about that. In those things, and keeping what Maduro knows, he knew the only way to keep his oil safe was to move it to Russia. And that's exactly what he did this week. He took the oil office in Europe, which does processing of cells, and they're moving that to Moscow. They're trying to escape sanctions, and they're trying to get someone to stand up for them that doesn't kneel down to the seven hills of Rome, somebody that tries to fight against it. Well, Russia probably seen hope in this at one time with the meeting of the Kirill and the Pope, But they're seeing that this one worldwide religion with the Vatican controlling everything is what they're looking to do. And that's what we're seeing in Venezuela. We're seeing starvation, but look at how everybody is starting to take teams, so to speak. They're getting behind who they want to get behind. And of course, the United States is threatening everyone. If you don't do what we say, we will sanction you. Well, of course, watch Maduro. He didn't do what he was told to do, and now they're going to replace him with a man, Juan Guaido, who went to college just 1,500 miles away from here at George Washington University. He came to America, he was trained, and now he's been sent to do his job. Please remember all the prophecies shown in Revelations. We're seeing all of these come to pass at this time. If we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Gahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Hey, Yahweh. We've got a crowd here today, people. Look at this. Wow. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Beautiful weather and beautiful news. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Got some wonderful news. Women last week. No, it was men, wasn't it? Well, the women set it up for you, men. You know, I've been telling you that we started it. I was amazed when we noticed that there's 10,000 viewers. 10,000, over 10,000 viewers, and then the next week there's over 20,000. The next week is over 38,000, wasn't it? Isn't that right? Well, is everybody sitting down? Get your seat belts on. Can you read it? Over 85,000 viewers last week. Over 85,000. That was a tremendous show last week, too. That service comes straight from Yahweh. I had one marked. I wanted you to see this calling. We get a lot of comments. And if I could... Oh, there it is. They're very right. They use another word, but very righteous teachers, I'll put that. Teaching a subject that, from multiple prophets. That's you, multiple prophets, by the way. Praise Yahweh. Well, that'll look better when it gets up to the billion. And, let's see. I had two cards here. I had one if I had but a short time, and another one if I had a long time. And I've got a few minutes, so I think I'll use the long time. The hidden codes that Michael Ossoff was bringing. Now, you can get that book if you want it. It's a book out showing the hidden codes in the scriptures. We didn't write it. In fact, it was discovered by accident. And when we saw it, I said we went to San Angelo, Texas, or somewhere. But Shaul said, no, it was San Francisco, California, to meet with these people and get that program, which we've been using it for years. And that 666 that he was referring to there, that
the 4,199 religions following the Catholic Church. The Catholics, the Roman Catholics, came from the Coptic Catholics in Egypt. They trained in Egypt for 400 years. And Yahweh brought them out. They were supposed to repent, but of course they didn't. They turned against Yahweh's prophet Samuel and said, "We want to be like all the other nations." That's in 1 Samuel 8. Well, that Coptic Catholic religion is all over the world now, and it's a leader of the kings of the earth. All scholars know that. All commentators that I know of that are actually scholars know that Revelation 17 is speaking of the Roman Catholic Church that sits on seven hills. It's all shown there. There's no other city that sits on seven hills. It's the leader of the religions of the earth. And of course the first beast that made up this conglomeration of religions, they started, it starts showing it in Revelation 13, the first beast, called the fourth beast in Daniel 7, and it's the verse 2 there shows that Satan gives them their power and seat and great authority. And then they include the United States then. When the land here was discovered, the Roman Catholics, Columbus was one of them, a murderer. He killed a lot of people, but there was a lot of survivors, our ancestors that survived all this slaughter that took place here in the United States, what is called the United States now. The next religion you see there is the two-horned beast, the Catholic and the Christian. Both of them all worship the same gods. They all celebrate Halloween, the worship of the dead. They all use the they all worship gods. They don't worship Yahweh. And all the world, all the religions in the world, are following after the Nimrod system, which is bringing them to war. Now, the last verse there, 18, shows you, and this is what that hidden code shows, is the number 666. 666. And that's what you find in the gematria. That right there, that 666, is responsible, Yahweh says, for all the slaughter. the killing of babies, the murder of babies now even tops the wars. 6,953,538 abortions worldwide this year. Now that is this year, 2019. We're only 2 months past into this year, and we have killed 6,953,538 babies. President Trump says it's equal to murder. We're up to 100. Now, this is a World Health Organization reporting this. We're up to 125,000 abortions, murders, a day now. That's your 666. That's what it stands for. 4,199 religions. We're not included in those 4,199. They didn't include the word of Yahweh in those, or the name Yahweh. They didn't in the land of Egypt either. They're saying now that Abilene, Texas, belongs to the God worshipers. I might remind you people out there that Jerusalem, Israel, belonged to the God worshipers too. But they didn't have power over it like Yahweh. And Yahweh says, I'm going to give this to the seed of Abraham, and he did. So just keep that in mind as you're fighting. You're fighting against Yahweh. You're not fighting against me. You're only fighting against me because I'm Yahweh's servant. All of you preachers that are writing in, contacting the house of Yahweh, wanting us to send you our names and addresses of people that are around you so you can work with us, you'll have to come here and get your license first. We have a school, we have classes that you can attend. It depends on how much classes you can take a day, but I remember when I wanted to go to college, I sold the Hotel Blue Ribbon Bible 2 days a week, I think it was, so I could put in 5 days a week study to finish a course, a high school course, so I could go to college. I did that in less than a year. It was a four-year course. Now, if you're as anxious to find out the truth and learn it and teach it as I was, then you can finish this in less than a year. If you're too poor to buy food, I know your people are diminishing. They're going to diminish even more. You know, you're going to be wiped out too. The whole mess is going to be wiped out. The sinners are going to wipe out the sinners. That's what the great prophet of Yahweh said, Malachi 4. He said the sinners are going to wipe out the sinners. They'll neither be root nor branch. So it would be wise if you go ahead and shut down and get here and get to classes and praise Yahweh. Learn the ways of Yahweh. These murders, they're all going to stop. War is going to stop. Right now you're what Donald Trump is calling scriptural illiterate, and he's saying that that we really need to read the Bible. Well, he's saying that to you because you're ignoring what the Bible actually says. The King James Version has a lot of mistakes, but you can still see, even with the mistakes, you can see that salvation starts with keeping the Sabbath. If you will turn your foot from the Sabbath, Isaiah 58, then I'll do all these things for you. Well, Yeshua said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. That kingdom, of course, I'll make you a kingdom of priests. That's what's going on right here. That's the habitation of Yahweh. The kingdom of priests is a habitation of Yahweh. Yahweh dwells within the people. That's his house. That's Yahweh's habitation. If you will seek first Yahweh's habitation, it's called the house of Yahweh. It's not called the house of the gods. It's called the house of Yahweh. It's the only work prophesied for this time period. You must come here and train. You must come here and keep the Sabbath. You must come here and keep the annual Sabbath. Keep that in mind. Work towards it. It's not that hard. Free travel now, you know. You can get anywhere you want to in the world right now. That won't always be. It'll be shut down soon. But that Malachi 4, you need to read verse 2. The only ones rejoicing that comes out of this rejoicing are those that reverence the name Yahweh. That's right. Praise Yahweh. Well, this Vatican, the Vatican, has received 2,200 new accusations of pedophilia since Pope Francis. 2,200 more cases. That was kind of sickening before that started. The congregation that is doing the inquisition on this, the congregation that's doing the inquisition, that's investigating these cases, it started out with Pope Benedict. It's like putting the fox in charge of the chicken house, as they used to say. Well, it's now called, they changed its name to hide the evil. Now it's called, they changed it to Congregation for Universal Inquisition. And then they changed it from that to Congregation of the Holy Office. That's 1908. Now they changed it again to Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. So whenever one finds out that this is a bunch of sodomites that's inquiring about sodomites, they'll change it again. Remember, they called sodomy. They named sodomy Kadosh. See, you can tack any name you want to on there, right? And that's what they do. This is a great trick they got. Kadosh means holy. Well, there's nothing holy about sodomy. They're getting the two mixed up. But Trump sees this Bible illiteracy. And he's saying we really need to turn this thing around and start getting the Bible taught in the classrooms, the scriptures taught. Well, of course, it depends on what the teacher, you know, so that really wouldn't help any. It might help to learn what the scripture says. That will help a little. That is, acquaint yourself with the Bible. And then if they also put in the evil that they teach in the schools all the time, that Yahweh didn't create the heaven and the earth, it just evolved. Well, see, you're putting the mixture of evil along with the righteous. And once this occurs with the person and they start believing this evil, all their righteousness is forgotten. And they wonder, well, why are they even teaching that Bible? They wonder why they came to the house of Yahweh, too. If they turn back to evil, they forget about all the righteousness that they've ever done. And it's also forgotten in heaven. This Trump now is urging more scripture, more Bible scripture study. I remember when Tana was bringing this out about the lamplight, the temple or the building, it was actually lit, and the tent of meeting also was actually lit by lamplight. And I still write and read by lamplight. When I got a kerosene lamp that sits in front of me on the table, and when the sun goes down and it gets too dark, well, I'll lift up the globe and light the light, and I'll go on reading or writing, whichever one I'm doing. Yes, I haven't lost my eyesight. No, I'm not going to retire. You hold up a watch back there and let me tell you the time. I'll show you. I'll bet you $1 million I can. Well, anyway, Trump, on the other hand now, confirms use of U.S. military in Venezuela. That's on other side of the mouth. What's the difference in abortion, pills, and the knife? No difference. It's still slaughter. Slaughter of babies. 1.8 million women are now using them. It kills a baby without anyone knowing it. Those are not counted in these 125,000 a day. Global emergency. That's what it's turned out to be. Venezuela plot thickens. That's what it's turned out to be. Cost of war project, $5.6 trillion price tag. That's what Satan's way, the 666, has turned out to be. Big money in Cold War. Big money. Well, what we're teaching here, of course, is Yahweh's way. And in Micah 4, 1 through 3, you'll find out that way is going to bring, it's going to stop war. There'll be no war, no more war, Yahweh says. Yeshua, I want you to turn to Romans 8, 28. Yeshua is the firstborn. Now, we're getting set up to make a change. Yahweh is setting his house up now because his house is going to resurrect the dead. That's what the scripture shows. I've brought it out before. By the way, if you want to get past sermons, all you've got to do is call, write, or email with a subject, and our people are very efficient at knowing what sermon to send you on tape or what to look for, where to find it on your computer at home. We're very helpful, and we're here to help. We're here to serve you, to get you into the kingdom, hopefully. In Romans 8:29, he says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did foreordain to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn." Well, the image of his Son, if you remember Yeshua, he was without sin, and of course he loved righteousness, and all of his life he portrayed that. He the things he said that they wrote about Yeshua, those things are forever. Right now they're writing about us because we're fixing to take that position as sons and daughters of Yahweh. Reborn, we're in a growing stage right now where we'll be born of this Holy Spirit. Yochanan 6:16 shows you that is the laws of Yahweh. When righteousness fills your heart and your mind, both your heart and your mind, it's what you crave, then we're going to see a rebirth. And we're getting very close to that, and I'm in hopes, big hopes of this Passover, seeing this change. I better not say any more there, but the things that you're learning here is getting you close to this, because he's the image of his Son. That was the promise in Genesis 1:26. I'll make man in my image. Well, he made Yeshua, who's the firstborn son of Yahweh, into his image. And as one of the women brought out this morning in the speaking, that we're going to be sons and daughters of Yahweh. We are sons and daughters in studying now and in the growth and we will be born, that is the change. There'll be a change take place, and along with that change will come the use of your subconscious mind and great authority. Great authority that you couldn't be trusted with right now. And Yahweh knows it. That's the thing. You're not hiding anything from Yahweh. He knows it, and you really need to get to work on it. I know that you are. I know everyone is striving now. But in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. If you will go back there a little bit and chapter 6, and look at verse 23 here of Romans. For the wages of sin is death. Now, you can't get out of that. It's taught throughout the Holy Scriptures that if you practice sin and continue to practice sin, the preachers say, well, just believe. They don't believe themselves, you know. Yeshua calls them fools. He says, you're fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The apostle said, repent. Repent and convert. And then your sins will be blotted out. You can't just say, I believe. That doesn't get you anything. That doesn't change your heart or mind at all. You'll continue to sin. The top sin is breaking the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, which Yeshua taught everyone to keep the Sabbath day correctly. That's the one you hate the most, right? Because you're under obligation with your church and the corporation that pays you to teach Sunday, then worship the Easter goddess, then worship the dead at Halloween, and then the sun god Baal at Christmas. You're under all those obligations, and they send you their literature to read all lies, by the way. You're teaching nothing but lies in Christianity. There's no truth to be found in Christianity. If you just study your scriptures and start paying attention to what it says, you'll see. Just look at the Ten Commandments. The very first commandment tells you don't be having gods. That's your very first commandment. Read it. It's in Exodus 20. I know you don't know where it is. You got a King James Version, and your Savior, Yeshua Messiah, whose name you changed. He says in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that keep the commandments. There's only one group of laws called the Ten Commandments, and that's in Exodus 20. And then Yahweh says in 20:20, I'm going to test you to see if you'll keep thee. It's not enough to say, oh, I believe. Yeah, put me on the road to heaven instead of hell. That's your motto. That's your total teaching. It's as crazy as worshiping the Easter goddess. It's dumb. It's stupid. It's as worshiping the dead. Remember the word Lord, where it comes from? We got proof of this. I mean, you could get it yourself, but we'll be glad to send it to you free. The word Lord. It's not a sacred title of Yahweh or Yahshua. In fact, it's a title of dead rabbis. Dead rabbis came from Coptic Catholic. They're the ones that turned against Samuel. They started calling themselves teachers. That's what the word rabbi means. And their title was Lord. And they put that in the Savior's place? These dead rabbis that turned against Samuel? They're the ones you're worshiping? You see how stupid that is? You could look in Unger's Bible Dictionary. You surely got a Bible dictionary if you're a preacher. Surely you do. In a Strong's Concordance, maybe? You could get that information there if you wanted. We'll give you gobs of it if you'll just write to us. Yes, Trump is right. You're scriptural illiterate. I've been saying that long before he did. You really need to study, but you need to study under someone that can explain the scriptures to you and say, yes, Yahweh meant what he said. You're going to burn in hell if you don't keep my commandments. I'm not going to have your trash in my kingdom. I'm not going to have you killing babies in my kingdom. No, sodomites won't be in the kingdom. After Yeshua said in Revelation 22:14, he said, blessed are those that keep his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the kingdom. That's the house of Yahweh. They may enter the house of Yahweh, be a part of the family of Yahweh. After he said that, verse 15, he said, for all you dogs are cast out. Yes, that's what he calls sodomites. The authority books will tell you that's not a four-legged dog. it's somebody that rapes and kills babies. That's what we're doing right now under the guidance of the Roman Catholic Church, who's Coptic Catholic, who was Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians before they moved the temple to Rome and changed its name to Sistine Chapel, and the Pope sitting in it, telling himself that he's God. Now, they took the name Yahweh out of the Holy Scriptures, and they replaced it with God. If you have a computer, or you could get this from books of etymology, has anyone ever looked up the word God to see in the etymology where it came from and what it means? Etymology of the word God. Oddly, the exact origin of the word God is unknown. Wow. And you fools. You replace the Creator's name that you know real well? Every authority says his name is Yahweh. Every authority. And you took it out, and you put a name in there that has no meaning. You don't even know where it came from. And you let the Catholic Church do this, and you fell in line with them. And started worshiping, I don't know who. And Yeshua said, you don't even know who you worship. He said it. The Savior said it. And you hated him for it. You murdered him because he told you the truth. All that we know for certain is that the word God is a relatively new European invention which was never used in any of the ancient Judeo-Christian scriptures. It's not Judeo-Christian. These scriptures were all written by Yahweh's prophets. They wouldn't dare call themselves Christian. Christianity worships the dead. They worship the gods and the goddesses. The Roman Catholic Church teaches them how to do that. They're the leader of the religions of the earth. It's a relatively new invention, which was never used in any of the ancient scriptures, manuscripts, any of the ancient manuscripts, none of them have it, which were written in Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin. And it's never used in any of them. So why are you using it today? Because the Roman Catholic Church did not want you worshiping Yahweh. They got their orders from Satan. if you read Yochanan or John, if you have a King James Version, 844. Yeshua tells you, your teacher is Satan. And what she tells you to do, you're going to do. You turned your life to her when you started doing evil like the gods. Evil like the gods? Genesis 3:5. Satan, the first sermon, the first lesson she brought. It's more desirable if you serve, if you make yourself in the image of the gods. Be evil like the gods. Verse 5, Genesis 3. This situation, written in all Hebrew, it's not in any of the writings at all. The word God is not. This situation is quite remarkable since there is a long history of people arguing and fighting over the name God. Yet we don't even know where this European invented word, God, came from. None of the prophets, sages, and disciples who wrote down the various books of the Bible would recognize or understand this recently invented word, God. Yet people fight over it today. The following is a brief survey of some of the efforts, in trying to find the name. If the disciples or the prophets had written it, it would be quite different, because Yeshua said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you'll find me. I told you before, I'm just going to lay this aside here right now. Well, maybe we better read a little more here in Romans before I show you this. We're in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh, the reward, you could change that to reward of Yahweh, is eternal life. The reward of Yahweh, not the reward of God. Who is that? There's nobody on earth can tell you. Who's Lord? Oh, dead rabbis. Well, can they give you life? No. It comes from Yahweh only. Just like the manuscripts of the prophets and apostles all wrote. Yeshua and Yahweh. It's the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. It only comes from Yahweh. Then why are you worshiping a word that you don't even know where it came from? You see how stupid you've been? How they've taken advantage of your goofiness, your scriptural illiteracy? They've taken advantage of you, and they've told you what the Bible says. They don't teach it themselves. Eternal life comes from Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah, our Savior. And they took the word Yeshua out and replaced that with the word Jesus and Christ. Well, Christ means to smear. But the word Jesus, that they're trying to say that this is evolved from the Savior's name. No, it didn't evolve from the Savior's name. The authorities say that the word Jesus evolved from two gods, Jesus and Christ, evolved from two gods that Constantine showed. Two gods. In other words, the man made it up. he chose them from Egypt and then gave them to him and said, this is the God. He gave them both gods and then said, this is the God. Let us send you that information. It's free. It won't cost you anything. We wouldn't take your money if you gave it to us. No one here would take your money if you gave it to us. If you want to convert, we'll start taking your tithe at that time if you offer it. We won't beg you for it. If you don't want to keep the law, we won't force you. Did you ever notice that we never ask for money in the house of Yahweh? The people here are sincere, and they pay their tithe because Yahweh tells them this will support getting these preachers here that are so stupid they're worshiping what they don't even know. I know I'm insulting you, but come here and I'll brag on you. Look back here at verse 16. He said, do you know that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey? When you're worshiping an Easter goddess, or when you're worshiping God, that's not Yahweh, but you belong to whom you don't even know. You belong to whom you obey. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin, which leads to where? Did it say heaven there? Your sins? Does that lead to heaven? Come on, preachers. Look at your Bible. Surely you're smart enough to find the book of Romans. It comes after Acts, by the way. His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin which leads to death. That's what Yahweh told them in the beginning, remember? In the first three chapters of your Bible, sin leads to death, or obedience which leads to righteousness. Righteousness, of course, 1 Shalkanon 3:4, 7 and 8. Righteousness is keeping the laws of Yahweh. Sin is breaking the laws of Yahweh. That's your New Testament. That's your New Testament, preachers. Now, look back to Acts 4, and look at verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He's speaking here of Yahshua. If you look down to verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that in the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who they called themselves that back then, they're now Roman Catholics sitting on seven hills of Rome. They moved the temple there in 70 A.D. They had their butchers come in and kill millions of people, destroyed Jerusalem, plowed it like a field, took the temple to Rome, and all the artifacts. That's a matter of history. If you just read it, you know, if you're right, if you don't have it, don't know how to find it, then call, write, or email, and let us send it to you. Verse 10, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that the name Yahshua, Messiah of Nazareth, whom you nailed to the stake. Yeah, it wasn't a cross you nailed him to, it was a stake. But whom Yahweh raised from the dead, by whom does the man stand, does this man stand here before you healed? The man was healed, and they were called into question on it by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, and of course their lawyers. And they gave them the name, and they said, there's no other name under heaven. No other name under heaven whereby you must be saved. Now, that's pretty plain. Then why did you remove it from the scriptures and replace it? You can prove that's his name from the King James Version. If you have a King James Version, and if you'll watch here, I did this from a diglot and from the King James Version. Made these copies and enlarged it where you can see it on television. If you'll look over to, if you have a King James Version, hopefully it has a center reference in it. If you'll turn over to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in the King James Version, and look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 in the King James Version. Now, in the King James Version, it says, now Jesus caused them to rest. Jesus caused them to rest. Now, some King James Versions put the word Joshua. Now, with that, I want to remind you that the letter J, like the word God, it didn't exist until 1600. That's when they invented it. To take the place of the letter Y. It took the place of the letter Y. There was no J in the Hebrew language, still not. There was no J in the Greek language, still not one there today. It's only in the English, because the King James Version was written in English, and it was going to be produced in English to draw all the people to the Roman Catholic Church. This is what they had in mind. And they spread this out all over the world. I was going through the stats this morning on this 85,000 people, and these people are scattered all over the world that listened to last week's broadcast, but they all got it in English. And this, the push was to get this all over the world in the English language, not to get them to obey in the scriptures, but to take the name Yahweh out of their mouths and out of their memories. And it worked. There's very few that ever studied to see where the name Jesus comes from, where the name God comes from, or Lord. So they could do whatever they wanted to do. They had it won. They won the battle, so they could write the history any way they wanted it, and they could do anything they wanted to with anything on earth. They had full power. Nothing was withheld from them. That's what Yahweh said when he said this. Nothing will be withheld from them. I'm going to let them go their own way for 6,000 years. And this is what it's going to bring you. And he even gave you times and seasons for this to take place. And he said, in this generation, you're going to see, and the Savior said this, you're going to see a bomb that will burn the earth in 1 hour. You're going to see bombs that will burn the earth in 1 hour. He even names it. So does your government. Your government says right now that even a small percentage of the nuclear bombs that we have available, if they were set off, it would burn the earth and it would all be over in 1 hour. 30 minutes to an hour, they said. Yahweh says 1 hour. And he says it's going to be done in this generation. This generation. Well, when was the generation? The prophets tell you the generation of the nuclear bomb. Then history says it started in 1934. with a knowledge increase that Daniel prophesied also. Daniel 12:4 prophesied this knowledge increase, which was the computer. The computer that gives you the ability to store knowledge. Knowledge without wisdom, brethren, is really dangerous. Yahweh gives us the wisdom written right here in the book of Yahweh. He gives you the wisdom to tell you what to do to stop war, to live peacefully together. Now, if you will do that, he says, then you will be sons and daughters of mine, because you'll be made into the image of my son, my firstborn, and me, Yahweh, he said. The King James Version, here's a shot of it. See the word Jesus? Now, I tell you that because they know that this was the Savior that did this. What it says in the King James Version, now Jesus caused them to rest in obedience to the law. They know. The translators know. The manuscripts had Yeshua, but they replaced it with the word Jesus. If you'll look there, can everyone see that plainly?
Yes.
If you'll look there, there's a little N. This is a reference to this word Jesus here. But get in your mind, they know that this was a Savior that made them to rest, that gave them rest. That's Hebrews 4, verse 8, King James Version. In the reference, the end reference, seen at the bottom in reference Bibles, shows you the end right here. Then it says, I.E., that's other words, in other words, Joshua, or pronounce it Joshua. Joshua, see that? Joshua. That's the word they're pronouncing, Joshua. That throws you off. But even if you pronounce it Joshua, which I used to do, I'm an Okie, remember? J-O? Joshua. If you take that J-O off and you put what was supposed to be there, Y-A-H. Now, did they know that? You would have Yeshua. See that? Now you got all of that in your mind. In Strong's, the word Joshua is number 3091. And it comes from 3068. I blew it up for you. 3091 in Strong's. And it comes from 3068. 3068 is where they give themselves away. 3068. Now they pretend they don't know how to pronounce it, so they give you a whole bunch of words that different churches said, well, this is the way. Yehovah. And then here's another one, Jehovah, which they put in the King James Version when they said they was trying to figure out how to pronounce the what they call the tetragrammation. So they started adding vowel points and came up. If you talk to the expert on the Hebrew language and vowel points, he gets kind of angry just talking about them. We have the scripture without vowel points now. We have books to back us up that show that we are correct in what we have in the book of Yahweh. Hebrew without vowel points. They do the same thing right here. They fool their own selves. Well, here is Jehovah. Then Yahweh. And then they made a mistake and come up with... You see, let me get my burger up there. You see that? So they admit... Now they get this now. They admit that the word Joshua came from Yahweh. You see that? They admit it. So they admit also that the word YAH should have been tacked on to this Yahshua, the word Yahshua, instead of Joshua. See, they're admitting that word Yahweh. They're admitting it's Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. And if you'd take that off of the Joshua and put Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, then you have Yahshua. In the Greek, Joshua is 24:24, and here you have the G J E H, which should be Y A H now. They admit it's Yahweh, remember? So they have the J E H, can you see that? And then over here, O-S-H-U-A. But remove that first part and put Y-A-H like they say it came from. They admit it came from Y-A-H. You'd have Yahshua is the name, not Joshua. But they also admit here that it's Jesus. Meaning, they know this is the Savior, and His name was Joshua, that they put wrongly and know it and admit it, that it should have come from Yahweh, and it should have been Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, Yahshua. Now, all of that comes from the King James Version. Now, there's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved, then this name, Yahshua. Salvation comes from Yahweh through that name, Yahshua. They admit it? That's not my doing. They wrote it themselves. I'm just exposing them of what they have done and what they're trying to hide also. The ones that did this should have known also that they were taking away their salvation when they did it. Now go back to Acts again, Acts 4 and verse 12, and notice that there's no other name given. And in the house of Yahweh, the book of Yahweh, is bringing this out in these last days. Verse 10 says, let it be known to you and all. Now these were men that was ready to die for this information, in order to teach this information. I think I'm going to end right there on this sermon because the lamplight. I'd really like to, it's a pleasurable thing. This would be the most pleasurable thing for children if we could have lamplight like we had when I was studying when I was a child. I'm not saying there's anything super about that kind of light and not super about electric lights. I'm just saying that it's a soft, glowing atmosphere that I can't remember a time when I wasn't anxious to get through it, get to this. When Mother called, we would be doing whatever we were doing, and she would call, and we would actually run, me and my brothers, we'd actually run to get to the table where she had the King James Bible. And the way we did it, there wasn't a lot of explaining, but we would get we'd read verses, and then we would talk about those verses. Each one would have their say. I don't remember how old I was at the time. I was thinking that I was 6 or 7. That I remember one conversation. We started at Genesis, and we were going through, reading through the scriptures. And I remember we were in, I think it was Revelations at the time. And he's talking about that burning. And I remember asking, or someone asked, I don't remember if it was me or not, but someone in the family asked, how in the world could the whole world burn in an hour? And I said, Mother, I saw a picture of a girl with a lantern in a haystack. And I said, if she'd have turned that thing over, it would have burnt that hay. It would have started a fire. Well, everyone laughed, but they all, you know, joined in too, talking about this. And that was one of the big questions right there at that time. Of course, we didn't have nuclear bombs. We did have nuclear bombs in the making, though, because they started in 1934. And that's when I was born. 1934. The woman that was normally a pusher to get this the lesson started of a night, my mother, she's spoken of in Revelations 12. As you know, her and Dad went to Oklahoma, went from Texas to Oklahoma because they had their land repossessed here, and they moved to Oklahoma. At that time, I was born. And then Satan, apparently knowing something, cast out of her mouth a water as a flood. That flood, of course, is shown in Revelation 17 to be multitudes, nations, and languages, which means a multitude of sins. And it means people, but if you're bringing people, you're bringing their sins with them. And of course, they wanted that land in Oklahoma. It was a cherished land that all the farmers wanted. It would raise anything. A red land, red dirt. This flood of people, I think if Yahweh had not, if the earth hadn't have helped the woman and started making Oklahoma an undesirable place. Now, they were crowds coming in, and then all of a sudden they started leaving. And because of the drought, you couldn't raise anything on any land. It's drought. You've seen the Dust Bowl. You've seen how it was. We brought you history on it. Maybe we'll play that again in the feast to show you some of the history of Oklahoma and how the earth helped the woman. The woman was my mother that brought forth the two witnesses and had lamplight studies every evening that I can remember. Well, the earth helped the woman in this way. If that crowds of sin and wickedness had kept coming, I would have got involved. And I know I would. I was vulnerable, like every child is at that time. And I would have got involved. But the earth helped the woman to raise this boy. Yahweh didn't keep me from all sin, but he taught me, and the sinners were very few. Our closest neighbor was about a mile or a mile and a half. That's how depopulated Oklahoma came. Most of the houses were vacant in the country, a lot of them vacant in town also. In Purcell. Purcell was a very small town anyway. But anyway, the woman was training, as Revelations 12 shows, she was training a man to bring forth the destruction, the information, the prophecies concerning the destruction that is coming. Now, we have the nuclear bombs now that can burn the earth. I'm here, we are, you and I, because Yahweh said I would establish a house. Not just a house. This is you, brethren. Yahweh dwells within the people. You're his habitation. He meets with us every Sabbath day, his eyes and his heart. And he fills our hearts with this book of Yahweh. And I know you're all loving it as much as I am now. But he's here every Sabbath day. And of course, we have that as an eternal appointment. Every weekly Sabbath is an eternal appointment with Yahweh. The annual Sabbaths, they are too. They're eternal. They're never going to stop from one new moon, Isaiah 66. One new moon to another and one Sabbath to another. All the flesh that's remaining is going to be keeping the Sabbath day. There will be no non-Sabbath keepers left on earth. Those that reverence the name of Yahweh, Malachi 4:2, will go out leaping like calves from the stall. You're going to be very joyous. Yahweh will never break this contract with us. We'll be able to draw off of his wisdom throughout all eternity. We'll never catch up with him. There's no way. But you think of the love that this being has for you right now. He sees you. He sees you right now. He's working with you to help you to overcome and become the image, in the image of his son, Yahshua, who is your high priest, by the way. Oh, I had a scripture in Zechariah I was wanting to show you so bad. I'll get it the next time, though. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!